Kohli drives through the covers. It's into the fence like a tracer bullet. That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. This is the first time I've done this intro via this app directly without having to do any editing. So let's see if it works well enough. Chalo, Sumit, we're live. What do we talk about today?
I think let's start with India-South Africa series. So what do you feel? 4.5 days. I'm not talking about one match. I'm talking about the entire series. It lasted little more than 4 days.
Yeah, I guess two things, right? Firstly, why is there only a two-match series for two teams that are so, you know, important in the calendar? It's only two games. And secondly, is the pitch. Like, why did each match only last 2 days? Abhi, see, Rohit Sharma has said the right thing. Absolutely the right thing that is on the mind of all of us, which is that you will probably not call it out as a disgrace the way you would if it were an Indian pitch that would spin. So he's absolutely right. And I think that has caused a lot of chaos and more furor, in at least in the English camp. So let's see, or at least not the camp, but the English fans. So let's see how that reaction translates itself in England come over next month.
People say that test matches are less commercial, but when I see, I didn't follow. Personally, I didn't follow the T20 series. I didn't follow the one-day series. I was waiting desperately for this test series, mainly because Rohit, Kohli and the main players were coming back into the action, maybe this reason. But yeah, what you said, I was very disappointed when I saw it was just a two-match series, and after, when they were poised at 1-1 and there was no decider, I think it was, I felt very sad not having this third test match.
Yeah, but you must have felt good seeing the performance of our bowlers, right? Well, both sides of bowlers were at least. Our opening two fast bowlers.
I can say that. But I am surprised that after so long, only Mohammad Shami, he was injured. But looking at Prasidh Krishna and Mukesh Kumar, I am a bit worried now that are they our best backup bowlers if even one of the bowler is not... Because I remember we had a pool of good 6-7 players. We used to have Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Ishan Sharma, Umesh Yadav, even when Mohammad Shami and Bumrah, they were bowling. So we used to have good names in the backup. But now Mukesh Kumar, though he is bowling decent, he is not exceptional. He is just decent. Then Prasidh Krishna, again, he is settling himself. But I'm a bit worried. Are these the first backup bowlers? If anyone of like Siraj, Shami or Bumrah, if anyone of them is not playing?
Yeah, very, very, very worrying. I think you will come to a situation where Siraj, Shami and Bumrah, maybe one of them is not going to be available for whatever reason, injury, rest or something. It's okay in India. You know, Shami's not going to play a little bit in the India games, and that's fine. You don't need three top-class pace bowlers probably to start, and you can go with a Mukesh or even an all-rounder. But anyway, in Sena countries,
three or four
pacers.
I don't recall, did Bhuvneshwar Kumar or Umesh Yadav, they have taken retirement or not?
Umesh Yadav, yes. World Test Championship was his last match.
Okay, so he has taken official retirement. I don't recall. And Bhuvneshwar Kumar?
Bhuvneshwar, I don't think is retired, but I think he's, you know, like pseudo-retired, right? Like he's not in the reckoning at all.
I think that's fair, right?
I mean, you cannot. I mean, Bhuvneshwar is out, right? He cannot be bowling long spells. So he's not even a consideration. So I don't think we should even. I think his career is sad in a way that he had so much potential, and he's obviously played a lot of cricket in of all formats, and he's done well, and he can bat as well. But his time is gone. So I think the question now is who else do you see, right? And you're saying Mukesh Kumar. Yeah, he's fine. His pace is not the fastest. He's bowling up. He's pitching it up. I think that's at least something that he's doing that's brave. That's allowing him to get wickets. He got some wickets, right? 2 wickets, I think, in each innings. But Prasidh Krishna is the opposite, right? Prasidh Krishna is the guy who's like tall and he'll bang it in like almost like Ishan Sharma. But I don't think he's threatening at all. And I've seen him ball, all formats, and you know, he has the raw, I guess. On paper, he's the right candidate, but he's not performing. So it's a scary thing for a country like India, a team like India, to have Prasidh Krishna as your backup. And of course, the third backup was Avesh Khan. He was in the India A team, I think, in the beginning, and then he got pulled up to the main squad when Shami was confirmed not to be available. Yeah, he didn't play in the two tests, but he's our backup after these two guys.
Even Navdeep Saini, when we talk about tests, so Avesh, Navdeep Saini, Prasidh Krishna and Mukesh, I think these are the four bowlers which they are keeping after Bumrah, Shami and Siraj. But I feel trying new talent in T20 series, one day series against like Sri Lanka and all those countries, maybe Afghanistan, but playing against the Sena countries, test matches, and still they want to try the new bowlers. I don't know what wrong players like Bhuvneshwar Kumar he has done. He is not retired. He has bowled decently. He's a experienced swing bowler.
Yeah, but Bhuvneshwar can't bowl. No, he's fragile. That's why he's not playing. India would love to play someone like him, but he cannot bowl test cricket. So we should not even talk about him anymore. He's finished. Unfortunately, he's finished. He's not able to perform. So that's what I'm saying. If you look forward, you've mentioned names of Mukesh Kumar, Prasidh Krishna, Avesh Khan and Saini. There are two other names that you have to mention. One is Tushar Deshpande. He's in the India A team right now, alongside Saini, I think. And the other one is Arshdeep Singh. Arshdeep Singh is, you know, he's not yet in test reckoning, but he's one of our good T20 bowlers. The question for him is also his fragile body or his ability to bowl longer spells. But he's bowled now in the Ranji Trophy match that just ended this week. He bowled, I think, 28 overs. So that was a good outing that he had. I think he may have taken 2-3 wickets, but more importantly, he bowled 28 overs in an innings, which was good. So there are, yeah, these six names they've taken. Plus, I don't know what happened to Jaidev Unnatkat. Jaidev Unnatkat was there in the squad. He played one test match just last year. So where is he? You know, he's the guy who's taking all the wickets every time in the domestic games.
Yeah, even he was not there in the squad. I still believe he's fit. If you look at Australia, if you look at England, in test matches, they always go with their most skillful, most experienced bowlers, and they are doing quite good. I'm not saying that India is doing bad, but if you see the first test match where India lost because India gave too many runs on that kind of pitch, I think that was not a pitch where you should give away 400 plus runs, where South Africa made in their first innings and India lost by an innings. I think one of the reason India lost the first match was the poor pace bowling attack overall. And we didn't do that good. I was just going through the stats of Bhuvneshwar Kumar. He's still bowling. He has bowled till December. He was bowling in the List A Indian domestic cricket and the T20s. And in the last test matches, what he has played, he has taken wicket in every match. He has not gone wicketless in any match. And in the 10 matches, I can see he has taken 20 plus wickets.
But,
in all.
But no one is questioning his quality. We are questioning his fitness. He cannot bowl 15 to 20 overs in a day. So how can he even be considered?
No. Bhuvneshwar, how can you even...
last match?
Last test match, what he has played was in 2018. He has not played a test match after
6 years. 6 years ago. Okay. So, maybe you like him, maybe you've forgotten that he cannot be considered for test cricket. He cannot. So, I think Sumit, you have to move on from him now. Maybe he'll...
I have to move on. Obviously, I need to move on. India has moved on, so I need to move on. Indian team has moved on. But the thing is, where are the other experienced pace bowlers? Why do we have, apart from two, like Siraj, and even if one of them is not playing, where are the bowlers who have played 8-10 test matches? Why India is trying players like Prasidh Krishna for a couple of test match, Avesh Khan for a couple of test match, Then Mukesh Kumar, couple of test match. Test match should not be the platform where you're just trying players. You need to give them time. One day is different. T20 is different. Test match. Look, which other country, do you see any other country in New Zealand or Pakistan. England or Australia that they are trying too many pacers?
Pakistan.
All this thing, they... yeah, you can say that. I think it's the Indian subcontinent problem.
See, I think it's a good question, right? Where are these experienced people who have played 10 test matches? Firstly, see, Shami's injured. If Shami was playing, if he was fit, he'd be playing. And then we wouldn't be having this discussion. Ishan Sharma and Umesh Yadav have recently ended their, or at least India has ended their stint with the test team. So there will be some kind of void, and that will naturally be filled, I think, by youngsters who will take on that mantle and then who will go on to take to play 10 test matches. And actually, not even youngsters, but let's say newcomers. It could even be someone like Jaydev Unadkat, right? Who, like I said, he's in the reckoning, but he's over 30 already, but he can still play a few more years. So I don't know why we don't have any other options. And it's surprising. It's sad, I think. Yeah. I don't know about this guy, Umran Malik, how he has to first play a lot of...
I don't think India will consider him for the longer formats. They will keep him for T20s and one days. I think Navdeep, they have already identified what kind of bowlers they want to keep in what formats. They've identified Prasidh Krishna for one day and test match. Navdeep Sevan again the same. I don't think them playing Prasidh Krishna in T20s. Again, they are keeping Umran Malik for T20s and one day. So they have already identified these pacers.
Yeah, and Avesh Khan is kind of available for everything. Because Avesh Khan also had a good India A match. But frankly, they're all the same, all three of them, right? Mukesh Kumar, Avesh Khan and...
Kind of impact what we saw, for example, from Mohammad Siraj during his initial days. Even Mohammad Shami, I remember Mohammad Shami playing his first match, one day match against Pakistan, bowling four or five maidens in the first time. These players, they came up with a lot of good impact performances. I think because of this, maybe we are missing. We haven't seen anything special from Prasidh Krishna or this guy, Mukesh Kumar. That's why we are getting worried on the pace attack. And maybe we need to be patient. We need to see a few more matches. And IPL is coming. Obviously, we'll see a few more 5-10 talents coming up in next couple of months.
Ultimately, Shardul Thakur is only going to play. So... what about the batting? I'm just seeing some of the scores over here. Rohit Sharma had a poor series.
Everybody had a poor series. Apart from one innings of South Africa where they made 400 plus runs. I think innings...
KL Rahul had a good outing. And especially as a wicketkeeper, he had a very
moved into a middle order batsman, he has become a different kind of pedigree player altogether. If you see, he is doing very well in one day. But I'm still that he is a talented player. Everybody knows it. He has done exceptionally well. Why he is getting ignored in T20 squads? This I'm not getting in. So
now a different topic, right? Let's just stick to the test thing right now, because I can talk forever about KL Rahul in T20s. But I want to talk about Jaiswal and Gill and Iyer. These three names are, at least abroad, they are the ones who will be playing for India for many, many more years, you would think.
Yeah.
But are they performing to their potential already?
I think it will be too harsh on them if we just judge them from this particular tour where everybody has failed, barring one inning from South Africa. There has been like one or two players who made some decent runs. Markram in the second test, KL Rahul from the first, and Elgar from the first test match. The rest, everybody has failed. We will see. Like, I think Australian pitches, they are way more balanced. You will see like everybody hitting 300. Very rarely people are going into 500. Everybody's into 300 and even chasing 300 to win. We will see how they perform in Australia. We'll see how they perform in England. But generally the matches in New Zealand and in South Africa, they will be such kind of matches, like low scoring ones.
Yeah, Rohit Sharma, what do we think is his future in Test cricket?
He still has a couple of years in him. I think he will play till next World Test Championship finals, provided India qualifies, which looks like they will qualify. Again, I feel it's going to be India versus Australia. What do you think?
You think? Let me just pull up the table. But I mean, I can't argue with that.
England is more or less they are out. And after the series versus India, if provided India wins, we will discuss on this what you are going to predict. What's going to be the score line for India versus England?
See, if I were to... Yeah, India has five games left now. If I were to just guess, then of course I'd say that India wins 5-0. That's the easiest thing to predict, right? But
see, but yeah, England, England, they are at 15%.
England is at 15%, okay.
15% points, and considering their next five test matches are in India. So I don't see their...
But they have three against West Indies and three against Sri Lanka. But still, of course, you know, by after the India game, they'll be out correct?
So India, they are at 54%, and Australia, they are at 56%. South Africa at 50%, but South Africa, they're sending a very, like, their B team to New Zealand for tests. So New Zealand can be there, but I still predict that it's going to be again India versus Australia.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Unless New Zealand, no, but New Zealand is also playing Australia, so that might be hard for them. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so let's say so let's go back to the topic. You said India versus. You said basically that Rohit Sharma, you think, will continue playing?
He will continue playing for this cycle at least. There is no point changing the squad for this particular cycle. Nobody is in their late third, like 38, 39. They are like 35, 36. They can still play till 38. I don't see major changes in the squad. Jaiswal will play. I don't see Pujara and Rahane coming back into the squad. I think Iyer, KL Rahul, and this guy, Jaiswal, they are going to play along with Kohli and Rohit.
Yeah, and it's obviously too early to talk about Rishabh Pant. So let's keep him out of it for now. We'll see after the IPL and a few even after that.
I think a lot of things have changed. Seeing the performance and even the keeping, not just batting, even the keeping of KL Rahul. Barring one or two dropped catches, he has kept fantastically. And I don't see Pant coming back so easily. He can come back maybe in T20s, maybe. But in one day and test match, as of now, I think KL Rahul is up the order.
No, I mean, Pant, I mean, the pre-injury Pant will walk into the Indian team as premier batsman. There's absolutely no question about it. He'll kick out any player. That, I'm not saying that needs to be KL Rahul, but there will be a space for the pre-injury Pant. The question is, we are very, very far away from seeing what the post-injury Pant will be. So
yeah. We need to see. Even if we say that he is going to be the same Pant, whom you are going to drop? KL Rahul?
Shreyas Iyer.
Iyer has done well. Iyer has quite decent numbers at number 5.
Pant is one of the Pant is, by the way, India's greatest ever Test wicketkeeper already, and I mean our first episode.
We need to wait for another 2-3 years and see if KL Rahul goes on. Let's see.
You are joking? Absolutely. KL Rahul. No. KL Rahul won't be that. KL Rahul. He averages 33 in Test cricket after 50 matches. So
when he has played as opener, we need to see how he plays. I think his fortune is changing, just like Rohit Sharma when he became the opening batsman. The same way KL Rahul is a different KL Rahul. KL Rahul 2.0 when he has become a middle order batsman.
Okay. I think one thing that I found was good in the second test was that India was brave and went with four fast bowlers rather than trying to fit in Shardul Thakur or Shami, Ashwin, which they do from time to time to strengthen the batting or lengthen the batting.
I think they played with four pacers in first test match as well, but it was including the Shardul Thakur.
Exactly. So I'm counting Shardul Thakur as not in there for his bowling.
So you're counting 3.5 pacers in test match 1 and 4 pacers in test match 2.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, Shardul is there. Shardul was picked ahead of Mukesh Kumar in the first test match only because
of batting.
He can bat, right? So, yeah. And that's really the reason why Shardul Thakur has played for so many years in the test cricket. He's played World Test Championship even final. Okay, cool. So then should we... Is there anything else about the South Africa series?
No, I think for the test series, I think they have given unsatisfactory rating to the pitch. What do you feel? Should we have these kind of pitches or not?
No, obviously we shouldn't have these kind of pitches. And I don't know. I think now South Africa is going to appeal. And after appealing, it can be changed to average or below. I think there's a below average... Poor. There's a poor rating as well, so it can be changed from unsatisfactory.
But I don't mind having, if they're like five test match series and one venue with such pitch, I don't mind. We should have these kind of pitch to test the characters of the batsmen and everything. But yeah, in two test matches and both, I think it's not even commercially viable that only 4.5 days were played out of 10 days test match. For two,
I think I know what
series.
You mean. You're saying is that it's okay to have, in fact, it's probably better that players are tested in different conditions across different test matches. Yeah. And for fans as well, there's something different. So you're not used to just the same formula. And I agree with that completely. I think I actually...
You cannot have... In fact, you should not have five test match series with all five pitches getting good rating.
Right. No, I think that's where I disagree, right? I defer that it's not good that the match ended in 2 days. Very simply, as a fan, I want to watch 5 days of cricket. The match ended before the weekend. I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? Go watch Netflix. I would rather be watching test cricket and talking about test cricket. So that's not good about it, right? The fact that it's a different pitch in the sense that it is aiding fast bowlers and not spinners, I think that's fine. And that is up to the teams to have the strength. Yeah. And this is where I think a lot of the Indian fans have issues with the way the English fans complain about Indian pitches. They do so, English fans do so because they don't have as strong a spin bowling attack. And they're saying that the Indians have spin bowling attack and therefore they're taking advantage of it. But similarly, South Africa has a very strong fast bowling attack. India has risen to the occasion, right, with their own fast bowling lineup. That can rival the South Africans. So that's credit and kudos to the Indian team to have all sorts of players who can play in all sorts of pitches. I think that's what I'd want as a fan, different pitches. But that last...
I think I'm feeling pretty good from the last 4-5 years that India, I think they are winning at least one match in almost every series, even if they are losing. So in every country, they're... In the last South Africa series, I think the scoreline was 2-1. They won the first test match and lost the next two. I think India is becoming one of the all-time great test teams, this current one, the way they are performing from the past 5-6 years. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kohli has transformed the test team, right? Kohli has made it a way that we've never... ever seen before, and India has become the number one, officially the ICC had become the number one team. But I feel like India has reached its peak and has crossed its peak, and with the loss of some of our fast bowling lineup that we've spoken about already, we're now soon in the next 2-3 years going to lose our main spinners and our main batsmen as well, right? We've lost two of our batsmen who are part of that great run in Pujara and Rahane, who we're beginning to replace, but we're not 100% comfortable with yet. And then we lose two more in Rohit Sharma and Kohli after a few years. So I think the real test is in 2027 World Test Championship final. What is at the end of that cycle? Where does India lie? So let's see. It'll be very interesting to see more Test cricket.
I think you have touched another good point. We were talking about the pacers and the backup of pacers. In Test matches, backup spinners, I think only Akshar Patel who is there.
So there are three, right? There's Akshar Patel, there's Kuldeep Yadav, and there
and
is...
Saurav Kumar. There's one Saurav Kumar who top wicket.
I know, but then then there's Shams Mulani, he's been among the top wicket takers also. But it could be Saurav Kumar as well. Yeah. No, I was thinking of Washington Sundar, but Sundar hasn't reached that level that we had expected 2 years ago that he'd be at today. You know, today we thought he'd be there because he came in with a very high prospect. And he played well, and he showed promise with the bat as well. So he could have taken that spot. But anyway, yeah, it is a challenge. Right? I don't see an easy solution. But also, I'm not super worried because we're talking about it today. But you know, these two bowlers, Jadeja and Ashwin, still have a couple of years at least in them, and Akshar is still there, and you know, 3 years.
Kuldeep Yadav is still there.
Kuldeep is still there, so we'll find more options.
Yeah. After discussing these names, I still feel that I think we are most settled in the batting order, then spinners, and then comes the pacer, where we need to find who will be the next line of bowlers.
Yeah. Actually, should we talk? I just want to talk very quickly about the last round of the Ranji Trophy. The last round was actually the first round of this year's Ranji Trophy, which was in the first week of December. And there were some notable performances. I guess the one really heartening performance was of Devdutt Padikkal. Padikkal scored a giant century, I think 193 from memory he made. And because Karnataka played well to beat Punjab, they had a mammoth victory over there. Trying to see in that same game, I was trying to see. So Manish Pandey also made some runs, but Mayank Agarwal didn't do too well in that game. So, you know, we all have our eyes on Mayank Agarwal as a potential player for India as well. Abhishek Sharma also, I actually like Abhishek Sharma. I'm not saying he should be playing Test cricket today, but I think he's someone we can consider for any format of the game in the next 3-4 years. If he continues doing well, he's a good young player. And this was a game where I said Arshdeep bowled 28 overs against a Karnataka team that was playing so well. So anyway, that's one call out. And I have two more people to talk about. Second one is the highest score of this round, which was Cheteshwar Pujara.
Yeah.
Pujara made 243 not out.
But he has made in this cycle only one match has been played. So we need to see how it goes.
Yeah. And
Padikkal made 193.
Yeah.
Riyan Parag, one of your favorites, he made 163.
I like Riyan Parag. I like Riyan Parag because he's performing in difficult situations. He plays for Assam, which is obviously not a team that is blessed with the best players. But he took Assam to, I think it was a semi-final of the Syed Mushtaq Ali tournament's mat last year. Last year meaning just a few months ago, beating Mumbai in the process. So he's done well. I think he had what 750s in a row, 7 matches 750s or 8 matches 750s, and the other one was a 40 plus score. So he takes wickets as well, right? He'll always bowl a couple of overs. But I'm thinking that he's a T20 potential, but let's keep him away from now. But I said I have three names that I want to talk about. So I spoke about Padikkal and Pujara. And then the third one I would say would be Ravi Bishnoi. I was following this match. This match was Gujarat versus Tamil Nadu. This was on TV as well. And it was a very, very tight match. They were quite even in the first innings, and then in the second innings, it was Tamil Nadu had a very good last wicket stand, or an eighth wicket stand, ninth wicket stand. But at the end, it was Ravi Bishnoi who took some wickets as well as scored some runs to let Gujarat get the victory. So I think these are the three call-outs that I have. And I've also mentioned the poor performance from... a poor one match from Mayank Agarwal. Oh, Shivam Dubey also, I think, did well. Like, I'm a Mumbai fan, right? So I think Shivam Dubey did well. Sarfraz didn't do much. I'm just talking from memory right now. Rahane did not play that game. He had a fitness issue, but I think he's coming back. Oh, the other news is that Shreyas Iyer is going to play the second round, which begins
yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, he has been named in the squad.
Yeah. This is January the 11th. So the next match begins in a few hours. So Shreyas Iyer should be playing that. There's no Prithvi Shaw. He's still, I think, battling his fitness issues. So it's still a... It's still an Indian team that's missing a few players that had played earlier. Suryakumar is injured, because he may have played some games. I already said Rahane was injured and Shaw is injured. And Jaiswal is playing with India, so he's missing as well. As is Dubey. Right? Dubey played the first Ranji match, but then now he's with the India squad. So quite a few players missing. But I feel maybe Shardul Thakur may come back and play a couple of games this season for Mumbai. So let's see. I think it's very exciting. There's a slight change in format as well in this round of the Ranji tournament, where the teams are playing in the group stages 7 games instead of 6 games. The knockouts will be competed only by the top 24 teams who are in the elite group, who will then make it to the knockout stages. So that's... that's not 24 teams, sorry, 8 into 4, 32 teams. So that's a good... I think that's a very good format.
Umesh Yadav is playing.
Umesh Yadav. So all of these guys are still playing. Umesh Yadav played this round, Saini played this round, Ishan Sharma played this round. So they all played this round, but none of them really did much, right? So Delhi, Saini and Ishant both play for Delhi. That's something to talk about, actually. That team with Saini and with Ishan Sharma and with Yash Dool, they're the ones that lost to Puducherry.
Yeah.
who were recently promoted from the...
And plate. He got sacked. Yash Dool got sacked as captain.
He got sacked as captain.
Declared Himmat Singh as the new captain of Delhi.
Correct. The issue with Delhi is that they've lost some of their main batsmen. There was a big row before the season, and well before the season, and some of their main players left Delhi, including Nitish Rana, the previous captain and stalwart batsman for Delhi, left to go elsewhere. So they are lacking that strength in the batting lineup that they've always had.
No, but their batting lineup is still not that. Himmat Singh, he's a decent batsman. Then Ayush Badoni, who is like Lucknow player. Then Ritik Shaukeen and Yash Dhul. I think they had a bad game. They will bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. They had a terrible game. They're not that bad a team. Okay. I've got this segment break thing I want to try out. So let's see how it works. It's working well. Good. Okay. What else do we talk about? Anything from today's T20? India versus Afghanistan, first T20 in Mohali at in 6 degrees temperature.
Yeah. When did you see Indian team playing in a 6 degree temperature? I don't even remember the last when I saw this.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But I actually didn't watch much of the match, but I was following it, and I saw the highlight of Rohit Sharma's run out, which I thought was comical, farcical actually, not even comical.
I was just reading the Crick Info post-match presentation when whoever was coming, it was too cold, it was too cold. Everybody was saying, the man of the match, Dubey, and then Rohit. Everyone was talking about the... I just went and checked the temperature and it was 6 degrees. And when I was seeing that today, and at that moment, London temperature was 5 degrees. I was in the office and it was freezing cold. And I was just, it was just 1 degree more and they were playing.
So we should be playing as well over here, right?
Yeah, obviously. I don't know why are we having a break from our season. Yeah, we can play.
But there was a, I think there was an article of there was some team somewhere in England that played their, they play an annual game in the first week of January. So they had their first game last week and it was freezing and everyone slipped and hurt their heads. But look, we still play our cricket nets every Saturday morning,
yes,
regardless of the snow or the rain or the light or whatever else. So it's good that the Indian team are still playing.
But it's international match. I don't know why they have to keep. They have so many grounds. I think we have like more than 25 international grounds in India. And you still have better temperatures in the southern part of India. Why they have to keep in January in Mohali? I don't understand.
Mohali is also the home ground for Afghanistan. So there must be something over there as well. Afghanistan.
But if you're playing a series in January, I don't think that you should plan a match in Dharamshala or Mohali, even Delhi. You can have matches in Mumbai. You can have, if not Mumbai, you can have in Pune. You can have in any southern state. You can have in Vishakhapatnam and everywhere. It's not monsoon season. You can have temperatures in 20s, in 30s. Why you need to play in the northern part of India? I don't think why. Maybe even if you want to give matches, give in some other.
Sorry? It shows that you're a northerner, Sumit, when you call Mumbai, Pune, and Vishakhapatnam as South India. So.
Not South India. I'm saying South plus I said Mumbai, Pune, where the temperatures are still decent even in January. I don't. Maybe after a couple of days, they will raise this issue that why did they plan? Because at this moment, and the match started at 7 p.m. I have spent my entire life, like from class 6, 7 till class 12th, I was in Punjab, in Hoshiarpur, which is hardly 1.5 hours away from Mohali. And I've seen so much of fog. I don't know if it was there today or not, but at 7 p.m. you usually get fog at this point of time. They could had this that the match got cancelled because of the fog. Why did they take such risk?
I don't know where the other games are, but if maybe let's just very, very quickly touch upon what we think is going to happen in this series. More importantly, this is a build-up to the World Cup. So who are you looking forward to seeing their performance
in this series? Mm-hmm. I want to see Rohit getting some good runs in the next two matches because I really want him to captain.
So okay, good question. So what if he doesn't get runs?
Then it will all depend upon how the IPL will go. Even if he has a bad IPL, I don't see him playing. Then India, see, I feel that Kohli will still play at number 3, one down. But even if Rohit is not playing as an opener, India still have a lot of options.
Yeah. No, of course, it's just about being brave as a selecting committee to not pick Rohit Sharma, knowing that you have...
See, one day, it's I can understand. It depends how he approaches the T20 games. But Rohit plus... Kohli being there in the top 3 and 4, top 3-4 batsmen.
But they want to open right? Rohit and Kohli want to open together. Right?
No, they won't open. They won't open. But they are similar kind of players who like to play long innings and everything. If he is going to play like the Cricket World Cup, or 23-1, the 50-01, then it's going to be different.
So who'll open? I think
Jaiswal is definitely going to open.
So no Gill.
Gill, it all depends upon how... I think it's a fight between Rohit versus Gill. How they perform in the next two matches. Yes, Jaiswal is the first choice. There's no chance they are going to drop Jaiswal. It all depends upon how Gill and Rohit they are going to play.
So you're saying drop Gill play Rohit and Jaiswal, then Kohli. Four is Surya Kumar, because you're assuming he's back and fit by the time of the World Cup. And five is Hardik Pandya.
Jaiswal, considering Jaiswal, because he's a left-handed batsman. And from the past, I think I was reading that he has a stat of more than 160. He has a 160 plus strike rate. So I don't think we are going to drop it. If we talk about the top 11, I think Rinku Singh, he has cemented his place because of the experience.
No, you don't
he's
have
going
a keeper
to.
Then.
As of now, we need to see who is going to play as wicketkeeper.
Yeah. It's not. I don't think there's a clear answer. Can be.
Yes.
Can be Ishan Kishan. Can be KL Rahul. Can be Jitesh. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, could even be Pant, right? I don't know. He scores 1,000 runs in the IPL.
It can be Pant. So I think IPL is going to answer a lot of these questions.
Yeah.
We need to see how it goes. But
yeah,
I don't see Jaiswal getting dropped. I don't see Rinku Singh getting dropped as of now.
Just before we end, I'll answer the same question that I asked about who I'm looking forward to. And there are two people I'm looking forward to. And that is Washington Sundar and Akshar Patel. And really, I'm looking at them as Indian spinners for our future, regardless of whatever format they're in, because the three of them can play all three formats. But I want to see, if I'm focusing on anything, I'll be focusing on their scores and the overs that they bowl. Particularly, I really want Washington to bowl well. I think batting should be his second calling. But if he's able to actually do something well with the ball and contain, then he'll be an option. Because I don't know if I want to have Ravi Bishnoi or any other bowler as an option, because I think Washington's potential is very high.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you want to discuss?
All good for me.
I think it's all good from my side as well for today.